this God that we serve is an awesome God. And the mistake that we have made is we have done things to act, we act like we were trying to keep it a secret. We need to share this as much as we possibly can. If you will, today, I'm going to go back about 25 years in my life. I'm going to go back to coaching today. I'm going to, you see the title of the message, Taking the Offensive. Ushers, you may take your seat. I'm going to get this out of the way before I get started. In case you do not know, when you have the basketball in your hand, you are supposed to be, you ought to be getting ready to play offense. And when you play offense, you are trying to score. I've heard a lot of coaches say, a lot of people say, offense win ball games, but defense win championships. I beg to differ. We've made a mistake on the football and the basketball court, just like we have in the church. The church never plays offense. We always are playing defense. Looking at most of you, you probably are not old enough to remember when, back in the day when the ladies, or we call them girls, played basketball. They played half court. They didn't play whole court. If you were on the offensive end for your team, you never had to worry about playing defense. You played offense all the time. But the guys just ran up and down the court and they had to play from offense to defense. I think the offense win ball game because if you just had to take the points that you scored on defense, you wouldn't win a whole lot of games. Offense, you got to score. And if I keep the ball all the time, you're going to be on defense all the time. That's what we have allowed the devil to do. Don't y'all look at me funny. We always are talking about how to get the devil out. If you don't ever let the joker in, you don't have to get him out. We let him in. Then we got a problem of getting him out. If you keep him on defense, he won't know what to do. To you young people, this is a wood baseball bat. Usually call them Louisville Sluggers. They're made out of wood. I have an aluminum softball bat out there in the truck, but I remember where my antique was, and I got it out. It's a 32-inch bat made out of wood. I when I batted, I liked it to hit with a 34. Nelly Fox, big end. And just creamy. I know y'all find it hard to believe, but back in the day down at Fairview Park, when I walked to the plate, if they didn't tremble, they was already trembling. And I know ain't nobody talking about this but me. But look at here. This right here. You won't hear me say I can do a whole lot of things, but shoot that right there. I could shoot that basketball, and this right here with a 34 Nelly Fox big end, I could hit a baseball. I ain't got to ask nobody else. I know it. I know it because I've done. And look here. You're always on offense when you got one of these in your hand. Never on defense. You're on offense. And that's what the church will not do. We will not play offense with the devil. But if the Lord stay the same today and all the next month, I'm going to try to teach us how to play on offense in the church. We got to get on offense in the church because we are allowing the devil to take over. Well, we got to get the devil out of here. No, just like if you don't let him come in, you don't have to get him out. In baseball, until they get three outs, you can continue to score. Don't no matter how many. I watched somebody the other day, they batted all the way around. Ten men come to bat, and ain't but nine on the team. So that means one of them batted twice. Offense. Score. Count. Keep score. I went ahead and used those because I didn't want y'all looking at them with your mind off of me and the message and on them. So now y'all know what I was going to say about them. So y'all just focus on me and listen to me for the next, well, I don't say how long because I got six pages, I think. We want to go on offense in the church. I said earlier because the church have been on the defensive end with the devil and allowing him to just play offense. We need for him to stay on defense. We're going to deal with the weapons of attack, and I'll tell you that the rest of next month. And these weapons will enable us to attack and cast down Satan's stronghold. It is important that we see our obligation to take the offensive, to move out and actively attack Satan's kingdom. It is a fact in history and experience that no army ever won a war on defense. In the early part of last century, as someone asked a well-known French general, in a war, which army wins? The general replied, the one that advances. That's probably an oversimplification, but at least it's true that we never win a war by retreating or by even merely holding our ground. As long as Satan keeps the church on the defensive, his kingdom will never be overthrown. Therefore, we have the absolute obligation to move out from the defensive and from merely self-protection to an attack position. When you have the baseball bat in your hand and you're standing at the plate, you are on the attack. The church does not get the word and go to Satan. We wait till Satan come in. Then we try to get him out. When Jesus first unveiled his plan for the church, he envisioned it being an offensive and an attacking Satan's stronghold. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said that, and we seem to want to think that that's a defensive move. But I beg to differ. It's an offensive move. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. Most of you have heard it before, but I think we really fail to understand what it's really saying. So many people assume that Jesus pictured the church being on the defense. Think about this. In Jesus' day, a city was built and they had gates. Gates all around the city. No war army attack the walls. They always attack the gates. Why? Because the gates were the weaker part of the city. Satan attacks you when you get by yourself. When you get upset, or when you're not upset and you're by yourself. That's when he's going, you are the gate. If he can get you, he'll get one more. Because see, then we look at you. And last week you come in, you were a believer. You go out, you come in this week, the devil done put something in you. Because you did not try to keep him out. You let him come in you. That's how he get in the church. He come here in your hush puppies, your Nikes. That's how he get in here, in your stuff, in my stuff. Brothers, in your flow shines, in your rock ports. That's how he get in here, in you. We allow him to get inside of us, and then he just walked right in here, just like he got good sense. He come right in the house of God, and we bring him in. We invite him in because we think it's okay. Well, we can get him out. No, you can't. Jesus was teaching us. We seem to want to think that when I was first reading this passage and studying it, I said, what he's talking about here is that Satan gonna be trying to get in the gate of the church, and but he's not gonna be able to tear it down before Jesus come back and rapture the church away. No, that ain't it. What it is Satan's kingdom needs to be under attack from the church. Because, Brother Archibald, I left that sword to the house and I was intending to bring it, but I forgot it. Satan got us backing up in the church because he's taking us. He's taking some other member and using them as a sword against you. And we allow him to do that. We need, instead of standing up trying to fight Satan, we need to resist him and talk to Jesus. We need to, when he comes at us, see, we're scared to let somebody else fight it. We bad. Devil doesn't scare me. I ain't worried. You better be. But see, what you need to do is invite him to come on. And when he gets where you are, you need to step back and say, Jesus, come get it. When the devil knocks on your door, don't you go answer. Send Jesus. Send Jesus to the door and let Jesus open the door, and Jesus will take care of him because he's already defeated him. And you have not. Jesus has. Jesus is on the offense because you are his church. The church have always wanted to be on defense. I used to think that too until I started watching football coaches. A football coach, if he can, he'll keep you on your end of the field all the time. But a basketball coach, a lot of basketball coaches back up to half court. That's what the church did. Backed up to half court and said, come on, devil. No. If the basketball court is 94 feet long, at 93 feet, 11 inches, I'm going to be standing right here. My goal is down there. I'm going to be standing right here. When you think I'm playing defense, my defense is my offense. we need to constantly stay after the devil. We need to press him full court, man to man. When you get that, you need to press him in a zone, a 1-2-2, or 1-3. You need to stay after him because he's coming. Your defense can become your offense. Just play offense all the time. Be expecting to score all the time. Don't ever expect to try to stop somebody else from scoring. I'm playing you, and I'm going to score all the time. That's the way we need to be. We don't need to get the devil out the church. We don't ever need to let him come in. Oh, I didn't tell y'all this in the beginning. I don't have any points. So y'all can't get me today on points. What we find here in this Jesus is picturing the church as being on offense, attacking the gates of hell is what Jesus promised, that those gates would not hold out against the church. Listen, if the church, I'm going to tell y'all what the title of my message is going to be for the next month. The weapon of preaching, the weapon of prayer, the weapon of praise, and the weapon of testimony. That's it all next month. It's 4 Sundays in next month. That's the title of the messages. And that's what we're going to be. That's how you're going to get him out. When you hit Satan with these weapons, he cannot stand. When you beat on the gates of hell, it cannot stand. If you preach the word of God, if you constantly stay in prayer, most of us, when it comes to prayer, let's pray. Grab his hand. Amen. Now listen. Some of us in our prayer, don't y'all get mad with me. Just love me. Pray for me. If some of us with our prayers, if it was water, it wouldn't even boil. 2 minutes and 30 seconds. 3 minutes, four. No. You need to pray. You need to intercede. You need to get there and you need to stay. You need to fall on your face and stay there. That's how you beat down the gates of hell. You attack Satan. Whatever the problems are in your house, attack it with prayer. After you get through preaching the word, preaching is nothing but exclaiming or talking about the word. After you do that, start praying. And in the middle of your prayer, just start praising God for all that he's done. When you praise him, then you got a testimony. You can tell somebody. We got to get on offense, church. We playing defense too long. We play defense so long, we don't know how to play offense. That's why when you start, I know most of y'all probably don't watch football, but have you noticed here lately in college, all these teams scoring 65 and 70 points? They found out something. As long as I got the ball, if I keep scoring and you just play defense, you're not going to win because I'm going to score. We got to stay in the attack mode. We want to build big edifices and keep the devil out. No, I keep saying it, y'all. If you don't let him in, you don't have to get him out. I'm not worried about getting the devil out of my life. I ain't going to let the joker come in. If I know he's going to try to come in one way, I'm going the other way. I don't have enough sense to go where he's not. If you stay in prayer, he can't bother you. In this passage, it's not the church trying to fight off Satan and keep him out. It's Satan failing to keep the church out. This is what Jesus promised. If we obey him, we have to obey him, that we will be able to go out, storm the gates of Satan and go right through his gates and release those people that he have in captivity. Let me tell you who they are. That's the the rest of our family that he got in captivity. You need to attack those gates and break them down and get in there and get them. They want to come out, but they need some help to get out. You needed help to get out. Somebody broke down your gate and brought you out, so you ought to break down somebody else's and bring them out. We are of the opinion, I'm saved. Everybody else is left up to them to get saved. No, God didn't save you for you not to save anybody else. If God would not have wanted you to minister and save other people, whenever you first got saved, you would have been raptured out of here. You would be gone. You wouldn't be here. But he left you. Glad you asked. To draw interest. He didn't save you just because you look so good. Because you were so righteous. He saved you so you could be a witness to somebody else. You have to tell somebody else about the goodness of God. You got to play offense, people, if you're going to win. You got to play offense. The church's assignment that is to attack the gates of hell and bring those that's captive out of there. In those days when the army would attack the city, they would attack the gates. And we told you this earlier, but we're going to say it again. The natural place to attack in a city were the gates. Look at Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. I think it's 28 and 16. No, I'm sorry, 28 and 6. I had one number right. 28 and 6. And for a spirit of judgment to him that setteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the bowel to the gates. That Jesus is the one that's going to set in judgment, and we are the ones that's supposed to turn the bowel to the gates, because he left us here for us to fight this battle. God left us in charge. He made us stewards over what he was leaving here. And so when you are a steward, you are responsible for getting this word out. The disciples did an excellent job in getting the word out in their day and time, but now we have backed up. We backed up all the way inside the church. It's just as far back in here as we can get. And won't come out to attack anything. We're not in the attack mode. We need to live and move and have our being in the attack mode. Because Jesus is not a defensive coach. If he would have been a defensive coach, he would have stayed in heaven. He decided to get on the offense when he came down to earth. He came to Satan's territory. He's the prince of the air and the power of this world. But Jesus came here to fight him and defeat him on his own terms. The picture of 28 and 16 of Isaiah presented the church as making an onslaught on the gates of Satan's kingdom. The gates of Satan's kingdom will not be able to keep the church out. So we must stop thinking on the defensive and start thinking on the offensive. Most Christians have this attitude. I wonder where the devil will attack next. Where is he going to attack next? I intended to read y'all this right here because I got this in my notes. So it said, is he going to attack in the deacon ministry? Is he going to attack in the mass choir? Or in the deaconess? No. At Macedonia, he's going to strike in the women's ministry. Because you see, they just finished their first woman's conference. And you know what? They didn't even have an afternoon session like we've been having for the last 50 years. So what's Satan going to do? He's going to plant a seed that they're going away from tradition. And that seed will be planted so somebody will pick it up and run with it. So, because what they do it, they're going away from what got us to where we are. My suggestion to you is to put the boot on the other foot. The devil ought to be wondering, where the church is going to attack next. We give him too much credit. We give him too much ground. Satan doesn't want you thinking outside of the box. Satan has got his trenches and his hooks into the traditional thing that we've done for so long. We need to step out of it and get outside of the box. Sometimes you just need to walk away from what you've been doing. I know what you've been doing got you to where you are, but what got you to where you are won't keep you where you are. We used to just have every now and then, back in the day, some of us paid dues when we were coming to church. That's all we paid. I stop by to tell you the Bible doesn't say not one iota about paying dues. The Bible says tithes and offering. That's 10%. That's everybody paying the same thing. I don't know how it was in the other church, but in Lebanon, children paid one thing and adults paid another as dues. But I stopped by to tell you, God's method is that everybody pay 10% of your earnings. And that's what it ought to be. The devil don't want you to go there. He wants you to stay with what you were doing, the tradition that gets you there. But if you do what thus saith the Lord, the devil will be out. And then you can get on offense. When you get on offense and stay on offense, you will learn that you don't have to play defense. I got tired of watching that school in Nevada. They got that blue field run up and down the field because every time they got the ball, they was throwing those long passes, scoring. They had basketball scores on a football field. I got tired of that, but they won a bunch of games. Didn't have to play no defense, but they stayed on offense all the time. That's the way the church got to do. You got to throw bombs on Satan. Satan expects you to do like Woody Hayes used to do at Ohio University, 3 yards and a cloud of dust. No, I'm going to fake into the line, and I'm going to pass you deep. You can think I'm going to run it up the middle if you want to, but I'm passing this thing. I'm going to score a lot of points. God wants you to stay on offense, but God wants you to do something, because if you stay on offense, you'll be innovative. You'll do things that'll spread the word of God. You'll go a whole lot farther if you run with it rather than walk around with it. You got to stay with God. I need to get on. I want to continue this theme, remaining on offense, on the offensive end of the field. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15, and it says, and having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. This verse describes what God did to Satan by letting Jesus go to the cross. See, you have to sometime, you have to camouflage. What you going to do? That's what I said God did to the devil when Jesus was crucified. Nobody else that had died had been risen up, had been risen from the dead. They were raised from the dead, but they died again. Jesus wasn't raised, y'all. He was resurrected. He's yet alive today. That's where God fool the devil. They tell me, thank you, Lord, that they had a ball game down in hell when Jesus was there, and Satan was the pitcher, and he pitched and got everybody out. They said it was the bottom of the ninth and two outs, and Jesus came to bat, and first Satan threw it, and he strike one. Then he threw another one, strike two. Satan looked at him and said, I got him. That was the first and the second day that Jesus was in the tomb. But on the third day morning, Satan ran back and pitched a fastball straight down the middle of the plate. And I can see Jesus. I can see him, y'all, in my mind. When he threw it down the middle of the plate, I see him. When he threw it, he was standing there just waiting on it. And when it got there, he cocked it up, and he stepped into it, and he hit it. And they tell me that Jesus hit the ball and stood there and looked at it, and he called a runner. He said, I need a runner. And I said, here I am, Lord. I'll run the bases for you. And I'm running the bases for him right now. See, you got to stay on offense. Jesus done already knocked the ball out of the park. And when you knock it out of the park, somebody got to run the bases. And my question to you is, will you run the bases for Jesus? He done already done it, y'all. He knocked the ball out of the park, and he needs a runner. Listen, I got to give you another one here. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, through the cross, God, good God Almighty, I wish to, where's Darlene? I need that armor that you had over here the other day. I didn't think about it then, but it said God disarmed Satan. Satan ain't got on no armor. He walking around like he think he's somebody, and he doesn't know it. Y'all have to excuse me. He was butt naked, got on no clothes, walking around thinking he's somebody. But God disarmed him when Jesus went to the cross, and especially when that third day morning, he rose and stepped out on resurrection ground and declared that all power is in my hand. God's a good God, and he wants us to play offense, but it's easy to play defense. We want to play defense. Get on the offensive end and score points for the Lord. Listen to me. Jesus and God, they took Satan, they made him a public display of him. Can you see in your mind Satan in Jerusalem had been bragging all that days when Jesus went in the grave? I told y'all there wasn't nothing to him. I told you that. He wasn't who he said he was. Where is he now? Where is he now? He's in the grave. He's dead. He's not alive. But I see him. I see him that resurrection morning. I see the whole crowd of all the Jews and all of them standing around. And in my mind, I see Jesus on that white horse. Lord, and you remember how the Roman soldiers used to come into town after they had won a victory? I see Jesus coming in. But in my mind, I know he's gonna do him like this because it's victory. He gonna have him coming in behind him on a chain, locked up, because he done defeated him. He's beaten. And we allow him to come in and do just like he wanted, and he's beaten. He's defeated. He whipped. He took a whooping. Jesus whooped him. He can't do anything, but we let him. I know you're saying, Baggett, you don't know. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. You got to fight. You got to fight him with the word of God. We try to get him ourselves. We don't want to call Jesus. All you got to do is just call him, and he'll come. Listen. Jesus didn't need the victory over Satan for himself. He needed the victory over Satan for me. For me. He needed to show Satan that he was defeated. Listen, he did it in our behalf. We do know that he is the Son of God, Jesus. He was in heaven all the time. Before time was time, Jesus was there. Before there was a was or a when or a where or an is, Jesus was there. You can't find where Jesus came into existence as the Son of God. You can find out where he's God incarnated, but you can't find out where he began. They tell me that in the literal Hebrew, it's not in the beginning, it's in beginning. No the. Just in beginning God. And I love that about the Bible. They don't try to explain God. Don't try to tell you where he come from. Just in God. In the beginning, God was. He is. Anything else, he's them in there. But God, through the cross, Jesus showed Satan what he could do. You are a defeated foe. And you are defeated because this is my my world. I've come to redeem man. We in the church, our leader, our founder, was offensive-minded. Offensive-minded. He came down to heaven, to earth from heaven. You notice that Satan and everybody didn't go to heaven, don't you? They were down here. So Jesus came on his territory and played offense. Beat Satan at his own game. But now we as believers, since he did it in our behalf, all we need to do, when Satan comes at us, we need to put Jesus on him. In the name of Jesus, play offense. Do not play defense. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what the situation is. Put Jesus on it. If it's bad children, Jesus. If it's a hard-headed husband, Jesus. If it's a boss man on the job, Jesus. But now, you got to be living so he knows who you are. You got to be walking and talking with him every day. Don't just call him when trouble comes. You know, call him all the time. When you think things are going well, talk to him. When you know things are going well, talk to him. That way, when things are bad, you might not have to call him. He might just say, "Baggett, I'm here. What do you need? Because he knows that you are his child." Most 99.9% of us, if we know that our children need something, they don't even have to ask you. They don't even have to ask you. You'll do it anyway because they're your children. But now you let that joker be hard-headed and mean and contrary. You let him call you and ask you four or five times. No, that's it. But because God's not evil. I mean, but you got... You can't use him. You know, you can't do that with God. But if you're serious with God, God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. But we need to get in the way. You need to get in the way so you can get where the blessings are. Second Corinthians 2 and 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every places. Look at that. He says in there, always, always, and not in some places, in every place. Every place, always, and in every place you can go if you're a child of God. You're his, and he always got your back. He got your back, your front, your right, your left, all in. He has all of that, but we have to stay on the offense. We are, as believers, I think we are scared to write a check on God. By that, I mean, if God haven't done this for me before, I won't ask him to do it. I stop by to tell you, you need to be bold and step out on faith and ask God to do something that you need that he haven't done before. He's just waiting on you to ask him. But you got to have nerve and be bold, and that's not in yourself. That's in God. You need to be bold asking him, knowing that God will do just what he said he will do. But whatever it is, you need to make sure God will get the glory from him doing what he's going to do. He's not going to do it if you're going to get the glory. Lord, give me a job. You stay home. Won't read the won't ads. Won't put in, won't fill out application on the email. But God, I want a job. Won't go out and try to get an interview. You want God to send a job by your house and knock on the door. And if you're not home, you want him to come back. When you're at home, you better get up off your stool or do nothing. If you want God to do something for you, you need to do something yourself. And when you do your part, God's part's a done deal. It's a done deal. But now, don't try to make God do what you think he ought to do. What God will do for you need to be so God will get the glory. If you are looking for a job, to God be the glory. God get the glory out of this job. And don't ask God to give you a position. A position is where you get paid and you don't have to work. All those are taken. You need a job where you will work and earn your keep. That way when a position come open and you have put in your time, you will get it. If God got one for you, you will get it. You'll get it. There's some people in here that got positions. They just go to work. Might not never work, but they go to. But they put in their time. And it's that way with God. You can be such a servant of God and just serve God all the time and do whatever God wants you to do. And after a while, you may hit a downtime when you think you're doing nothing. You'll reap blessings from yesterday or from the day before. But see, because God will bless you with what you stand in the need of. And sometimes God have a blessing for you that you don't need. And I don't believe it'll go to waste. I believe he'll just save it. You know, like we said, for a rainy day. But you got to stay on offense. You can't get on defense. Stay on offense. That's why you got to constantly be in the attack mode. When you are attacking, you're saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to score. You have to stay in there. Stay with God, because Jesus wants us on the offensive end. He doesn't want us on the defensive end. The church is a good defensive team. What I'm trying to get you to see is stop playing defense all the time and get on offense. Get the ball in your hand. Get it out of Satan's hand. When I got the ball in my hand, you don't know what I'm going to do with it. But you got to worry about me then. I'm not worrying about you if I got the ball. If I got the ball, I'm going to score. That's my job. And in this game right here, you get the ball right here. Satan is standing right there. Come here. Don't move. Just stand. Come stand around this. Now, listen to me. In basketball, you teach when you stand, you get about like about here. And if he was in his stance, his head would be about right long in here. He's ready to go. But see, I got the ball. I'm going to determine what he does. See, he stayed right there. He didn't move, did he? All right, now, he stayed there. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take this foot and put it right here and dribble the ball right here. Because he didn't move. See, I'm on the offense. He doesn't know what I'm going to do. Now, this time when I fake that way, you step that way, okay? I'm going to go right here. Now, come over this way a little bit. Okay? Now, this time, back up. Everything that he would do on defense, I got something that I would do on offense. Why? Because I got the ball. I got the ball. When God want us on offense, who did God leave his church with? He left it with us. So we got the ball, but we have allowed Satan to get the ball. And now we're on defense all the time. Stop playing defense. Get the ball. Am I making sense? Play offense. Don't play defense. Thank you, Deacon John. I'm through. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 19. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Our assignment is to administer the victory, demonstrate the triumph, exercise the authority that Jesus has won in our behalf. Authority is only effective when it is exercised. If we do not exercise the authority that he has given us, it remains ineffective. The world can only see Christ's victory when we demonstrate it. Christ has won the victory, but our assignment is to demonstrate the victory over Satan and his kingdom that Jesus has already won. We can only do this when we move from the defensive end to the offensive end. Brothers and sisters, you got to play offense. You got to play offense. Because we don't need, Jesus didn't leave us here to be on defense. He left us here to play offense. And that offense is when I have the ball. Jesus did not leave the church with Satan. He left the church with the church. He left it to the leader, and then we decided that we'd play defense. And I know why. They say you work harder on defense, and you sure do. Because you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. You shouldn't have to play defense. You ought to always play offense because you got the ball and you have control of it. So my thing to you today is that let's play offense. Let's score. Let's score some points for the kingdom of God. Amen. Will you stand? And if you don't know Jesus, this is your time. This is your time to give your life to Christ.